Blog Talk Radio.
This is JJ Bomber. You are listening to Well Arm Radio.
Well, good evening, sheep dogs. Welcome to Well Armed Radio, where freedom is our best friend. Excuse me. Thank you for joining us in our weekly vigorous, relentless, and typically ruthless pursuit of freedom, broadcasting live from the very well-armed studio in New Berlin, Wisconsin. Always my pleasure to speak with the most informed gun owners in the state. That would be you guys. You're your community's finest. And with a face for radio and a voice for silent movies, my name is Nick Clark. I'm the president of Wisconsin Carry and the host of Well Armed Radio, and encourage you to be a part of the show with your calls or your chatting. And that number to call in would be 563-999-3787. Again, that's 563-999-3787. A little leery on the phones this week after our little fiasco last week with some, I don't know if you call it prank callers, someone having a little fun on the... But start the show with the usual warning, no sacred cows here. And as is typical, first 50 minutes of show open line. So that's pretty much right now. Now's your chance to call in with anything you'd like to discuss, something from last week's show, something about the Second Amendment or the election or anything that's on your mind lately, because I'm going to sit here and chit-chat for a few minutes. Remainder of the show, encourage you to call in, but would encourage or prefer that you keep the excuse me the comments pertinent to the topics that I would be doing at that particular time. And so we'll kick it off here. Got a couple people in the chat. Lon from Wausau is in the chat here tonight. And oh, shoot. You know what I need to do? I need to get, I promised the other week that I was going to keep an eye on the, there we go. All right. So I've got the Well Armed Radio Facebook page up. And if you want to, if you're listening live and you wanted to comment, but you don't want to use the chat, or I think the chat might use Flash. Either way, excuse me, man, I got the yawns tonight. if you're on a cell phone and you can't use the chat function from Blog Talk Radio, you can always comment on the show posting on the Me, did I say Facebook? On the MeWe page, on the Well Armed Radio MeWe page. I think I might have said Facebook. Fascist book. I might have said Facebook. Would have meant fascist book if I really meant Facebook, but I meant MeWe. There obviously is no. I'm celebrating my, gosh, I don't know what it's been, about a month and a half, my month and a half exile from, my month and a half permanent exile from fascist book. I was kicked out on election night and haven't returned since. I mean, I couldn't return if I wanted to. I mean, I could start a new profile. I think Facebook, with all their mechanisms to track people down, whether it's they know your phones. Some phones, I think it's a MAC address. Some phones, I think it's the IMEI number, International Mobile Electronic Identification Number. Every computer has an IP address. So anyway, I think Facebook would figure it out if I tried to create, and if I tried to create an alternative profile. But here's the thing: like, I sit there and I think to myself, why would I want to create an alternative profile to get back on Facebook? I lost 12 years worth of data. I lost a couple thousand followers on my Well Armed Radio page. I lost the Wisconsin Carry page is there, I'd have to rebuild my friends list. I wouldn't have any content, my pictures, my videos, again, 12 years of family pictures and photos and friends pictures and photos. So it's just to do all that in a place where you can't even speak freely, where you got to worry about what you say. Can't even say Kyle Rittenhouse is a hero without getting 30 days. Someone today I saw got a 30-day suspension for saying that something supportive of Kyle Rittenhouse. But yeah, it's if I was to go back on Facebook, the whole purpose would be to use it as a means to drive people over to our MeWe account. But I just don't have the time or the patience. I don't want to create another account just to have it get bombed again, get zapped by YouTube. And there's also something, maybe it's a pride thing, maybe it's a, you know, I don't like to hang around places where I'm not wanted. I'll take my talents or lack thereof and go elsewhere. You know, if I can't speak freely and be myself, why would you want to be there? So, anyway, here's what we got coming up the show tonight. I was going to talk about the immunity passports. I was going to talk about, some things with respect to coronavirus, and that topic. I was going to talk about the consequences of inaction. Two topics on different things, but kind of related. And again, it's just the consequences of inaction relates to where we are here today in Wisconsin. And then I was going to talk about kompromat. Learned a new word this past week. Kompromat with a K. KOMPROMAT. Russian word for compromising information. And then had one other little topic I might get to if I have time. But we'll see how it goes and take it from there. So, I'm small talking here for a few more minutes in case anybody wanted to call in for open line. Also see Hank. Hank Jones is in here tonight again. Hank, I think I remember you were on last week's show, and I can't recall, Hank, if you if I'd asked you where you're from, if you're from the area, if you're from Wisconsin. I don't remember if you – Lon, obviously I remember Lon from years back I'm still on Blog Talk Radio, but prior to my foray over into Facebook Live for the show, I remember Lon going back to, gosh, I don't know, Lon, how long has it been since the start of the show? 2013, April-ish 2013 was when I think I started, well, not think, April 2013 was when I started doing Well Armed Radio. So I know Lon goes way back. So yeah, Hank, and I apologize, Hank, if you have been listening for a while, I don't recall, I just didn't recognize your name, but I remember you from last week and I was just kind of curious. Did a post on the show page on 1213, Facebook, a politics post was 100% true, but conservative pro-Trump and a fictional sports post, the politics post just got flagged, nothing done on sports posts. So yeah, Hank, sounds like Hank's having a little bit of Lon says close to the beginning. Hank's having a little bit of frustration with fascist book, it sounds like. So when you said, Hank, you said it got flagged. The politics post he had got flagged. What does that mean? Did they put you on like the 10-day timeout, or what does flag mean? I'm not sure what that would what the consequences of being flagged are, but anyway, again, I'm going to chit chat here for a few seconds before we dive into the topics, but if you are listening, give me a heads up, shoot me a message on the Well Armed Radio page, say hi on the show topic for tonight, or or you can log into the chat as well and say hi that way, so I know you're listening. But yeah, another we had our first shot of winter weather here in southeast Wisconsin. Lon, how about you up in Wausau? What'd you guys get? Did you get hit pretty well with snow, or did it kind of skip south of you? I know Madison got I think a bit of snow. We got Milwaukee got almost none. I don't know. When I went to bed on Friday night, it was snowing like crazy. We probably had like an inch. All right. Area code 845. Where's that coming from? Lon says they got nothing. All right. Area code 845 is New York. All right. It's open line. So we'll give this a shot and find out, what we got coming in here on, from New York. And welcome to Well Armed Radio. Where are you from, and who's where are you calling from, and who's this?
Nick, it's Mike from New York. It's been 300 years.
Mike. Oh, it's been forever.
How are you?
Well, I'm doing good. How about yourself?
With everything that's been going on here, we put the house on the market and we joined many other patriots who said that's it. We popped smoke, and within 4 days we had a buyer and we signed the contract, and I bought a box truck. I said, you know, after checking the prices they want for moving and everything, I said, you know what, screw it, I'll just buy the truck.
Where are you from myself?
Well, Pennsylvania I don't trust because of the amount of liberals that are over there, and little by little I could see them growing. The only place that's safe in the Northeast is New Hampshire. And I figured out something very interesting as to why you don't have more career lunatic liberals going into politics in New Hampshire. Very interesting. Do you realize that they never changed their pay scales for their politicians since the 1800s?
Really? So, I mean, and essentially, I mean, our founding fathers, so people that go to politics in New Hampshire, they maintain their regular career.
$100 a year. No bonuses, no spiffs, no money for mileage, no nothing. You get $100 a year. So you get a 2-year term, you get paid $200, but you do get a license plate.
You know,
there's no room for a career politician up there. It's like, why should I do that? Why should I work for 2 years and I'm only going to get $200? Are you out of your mind? No, they're not going to do that. The liberals won't do that, which is great because then normal people have a chance at running.
Well, when anybody goes into politics, I shouldn't say anybody, I don't want to paint with too broad of a brush here, but too many people, when they go into politics, they use the office to enrich themselves and they don't care necessarily about the income. That's how these people that make, whatever. I don't know what congressmen make, if it's 150 a year or something, but and then they end up millionaires because I mean they get and they're insider trading. If you're part of a public company, it's insider trading. But if you're part of the DC, information that they get is not insider trading. And there's a million.
You're exempt.
I mean, I haven't read the book, but there's a book some guy wrote about how how people enrich themselves. And I forget the name of the book, but the guy wrote a book about how people go to D.C. to enrich themselves. I mean, we see it with obviously Joe Biden and his son. We see how the millions of dollars that they've used for access and all these other things. But yeah, I mean, it's, I don't know. Did you ever catch the show when I was doing, because I jumped off Blog Talk and went to Facebook Live for it's 3 or 4 months there.
I've been sort of, you know, treading water here. So I haven't been that active on a lot of the stuff because we've been trying to survive here in New York with the COVID, everything and the contracts and the politics, and we've got our hands full. So I haven't been around much.
Yeah. So here's what happened. So you know, you know me. I mean, you've been listening to the show from Blog Talk going way back. Then, and you and I are friends, and we're friends on Facebook. I got booted off Facebook, banned from Facebook on election night. No reason, no warning, permanent ban. No reason why. The Wisconsin Kerry page, one of our other board of directors members, is admitting that I've got a page up on MeWe now for Wisconsin Kerry. We got, I don't know, like 800 people have switched over of the 12,000 people that we had on Facebook. But just, you know, and I with all the stuff. Banned from Facebook permanently. Again, no reason. I can only guess is that I had things supportive of Kyle Rittenhouse on the Wisconsin Kerry page. I had things supportive of Kyle Rittenhouse on my Well on Radio page, and I don't know if they saw that, and I had a whole bunch of stuff questioning the mainstream narrative on coronavirus. So who knows? I don't know why. And I also wondered, years ago, and I'm talking like 10 years ago, I created a page called a group called the Wisconsin Minutemen. And it was just supposed to be like people that were politically active, like Wisconsin Minutemen, ready to jump to action in a moment's notice, political activism standpoint, not like a militia thing. It never invited anybody. It didn't have a single member in it, but that was still sitting out there. So I know Facebook was scouring their bowels for any of these militia groups and banning people. I have no idea why. When I say no idea, it had to be either the Rittenhouse stuff. It had to be either that or my coronavirus questioning the mainstream narrative, or maybe it was that, I don't know, or maybe a combination of the three, but either way, I got banned. So and it's a bummer because there's people, and actually it's funny because there's people, I hope that they go looking for me on Facebook and don't find me, they don't think I blocked them or that I'm unfriended them, it's
unbelievable. And you know what, that's one of the reasons we live in New York. We finally realized we're so outnumbered here in this state, conservatives and gun owners, it's you're not going to win. Yeah. And it's not apathy. I'm just facing the facts. I mean, some places are 4-5-1 we're outnumbered.
Yeah.
And we've got a few pro-gun, a few people that are in the Assembly and the Senate, very few. They can't even get a bill on the floor. They can't even do anything.
Yeah.
So they're getting paid to just sit there. Well, they do grand openings and cut ribbons, but what are they doing? Nothing.
Right. Well, so, and that's the thing. I'm sitting here saying to myself, and because I mean, I 100% believe that the election was stolen from Trump. There's zero doubt in my mind.
Yes.
And I've even got this later in my show. I mean, I think that actually Scott Walker's last election was stolen. I'm going to do that as a topic later. But I'm sitting here saying to myself, where do we go? How do we? It would have been years ago if Trump would have lost and I thought it was legitimate, I'd say, hey, we got to work harder. We got to this. But I don't think he lost. I think he won. And then I think if we would have got 20,000 more people here in Wisconsin to vote for Trump, the Democrats would have just cheated another 20,000 votes. I literally don't think it matters. So what am I supposed to tell people? Contact your legislators for what? Why contact a legislator?
For what?
Well, I mean,
what about the courts? People say,
right.
People say depend on the courts, or you can't anymore. Supreme Court, it's a joke now. I don't trust the Supreme Court. People don't trust the government. Nothing.
No,
you can't count on anything.
And so what? Without free and fair elections, nothing else matters. I mean, I can't tell someone to make phone calls to legislators. What's the fucking point? I can't tell someone to.
No.
Even Wisconsin Kerry, we do a ton of litigation. And here in Wisconsin, we've always had, for the time that Wisconsin Kerry has been around, for 11 years now, we've had a conservative Supreme Court. Well, now we got this guy in the Supreme Court in Wisconsin, Hagedorn. He's been flipping and voting with the liberals. So, I mean, we file federal cases and state cases. We've taken cases to the state Supreme Court and won. But that's always been our back, is we thought, hey, if we lose, we can go all the way to the Supreme Court. We're likely to win on the merits of our case because we've got a pro Constitution, pro Second Amendment. But now with this guy Hagedorn, I mean, so we could win a assembly seat outstate Wisconsin, but we're not going to win a statewide race. We're not going to win the next Supreme Court for the state of Wisconsin. There's no way. If we don't fix these elections, there's no way. So what's the point? What's the point of donating to a campaign? What's the point in advocating for a candidate? No. What's the point of any of that? Because we can't overcome the margin of fraud.
We can't trust the fraud. Yeah, the fraud controls it now. We can't trust the system. System no longer, it doesn't, this isn't America anymore. It's a joke. It's a money-making joke for a few.
That's exactly what I said. I said this most so many times on Facebook, not Facebook, on MeWe. This is not America. And I'm sitting there. My fiance's kids, they're 19, 18, and 15. And they're not going to grow up in the same kind of country that we did. They're not going to.
Did you see what that judge did? The ruling the judge did against a cop in Boston?
I did not.
Cop shot a kid that pulled out a guy that pulled out a fake gun, a toy gun. Cop shot him dead. Well, the judge ruled that yes, the policeman can be prosecuted. And everybody went, what?
I'm sitting here and I've seen bad shoots and good shoots, but now self-defense is now illegal. And that, I was on a show here with WBCY in Wisconsin two, three weeks ago. And I said, he starts talking about gun control. I said, well, look, I said, first off, gun control, we're going to see gun control. But before that, the cultural attack. I mean, if self-defense is going to become illegal, because like the Kyle Rittenhouse situation, which is captured on video, I mean, that to me is as clear self-defense as you can get. And if so it doesn't matter what gun you can own. It doesn't matter what gun you can carry. You can't use it without going to jail, what's the point? I mean, then you're going to just take your chances without a gun, because if you use your gun, you're going to end up.
Nikki, you know what I'm really worried about? I'm really worried about this is that, I mean, we saw the lunatics on the left where that, like, for instance, the idiot that went to the ball field and started shooting. And I'm convinced there are enough lunatics on both sides, left and right, that what this is going to do is this is going to freak out some right wing, somebody that is pro-gun, but somebody that is violent, or a group of people that are trained. And what they're going to start doing is they're going to start going around. I'm worried that this will happen. They'll start going around and taking these people out at night. They're not going to be breaking windows in the streets and everything else. I think there are going to be politicians that are going to disappear. And I hope it doesn't come down to that, because when they've cornered us to the point that courts don't mean anything, you have no recourse. You have no one to turn to. You have nothing else. And the only option left is violence. And I don't want to see people resort to this. And do they understand what they're doing when they're tipping the scales so far and laughing and gloating? Like right now, did you notice how limited nobody really even said anything about tomorrow? What's going to happen tomorrow? Right. They didn't say anything because look how many people were in the streets of Washington, D.C. They don't want to light them up. Keep them placated. Keep your mouth shut. We can gloat about it afterwards. Once the Electoral College comes forward and they open their mouths, then we can gloat about it and laugh off. That's it. It's over with. It's done. And this is – they've turned it into a wide world of sports event, and they're enjoying it. It's entertainment for them. For us, this is part of our life, our beliefs.
The one thing, it's not comforting, but it's, there's millions and millions and millions and millions of people that feel just like you and I do. And so for that reason, I'm sitting here thinking something's going to happen. And I don't know what that something is, but something is going to happen.
And I'm worried about it.
Right. And I mean, now we know why there's no ammo. I mean, people are wise to be buying every ounce of ammo they can find. I mean, I don't know what's going to happen. Something's going to happen. Something big's going to happen. I don't know what it is. It's got to. But here's my other thing. I was telling my fiance this. We were taking a hike yesterday with the dog. And I said to my fiance, I said, you know, here's the thing. When you realize how much they will do, she said, made a comment like, can you imagine what Trump would have done in his second term? I said, oh, God, we were just starting to get into the deep state with the FBI and the stuff. And I said, and now you know why they would have done anything to get him out. And I said to her, I said, you know what?
They would kill.
I said, that's exactly what I said. I said, if somehow Trump got reelected, I can't imagine he would have been assassinated. And that sounds crazy, but and it would have been an inside job.
It's not beneath them.
Yeah, no, exactly.
I don't believe anything is beneath them now. They're capable of anything.
Right.
To do what they did now with this, and we have all the evidence and everything else, and they're trying to tell us what is that? There's no evidence.
The media knows it. The media knows
yes.
it, and there's no one in the media. Honest, they're so happy to have their guy in that they're going to let. They don't care that they just destroyed America and destroyed the foundation. Because I used to say, how do you know if it's a free country years ago? During Bush's presidency, I said, are we still a free country? I said, well, you know, so I came up with this kind of assessment like, well, you know, if the GDP, what percentage of government or what percentage of all economic activity comes from the government versus the private sector? Because that's kind of a gauge of how much of us is free market. And, you know, it's a different kind of measure. And at that point, I think like 40-some% of all money spent was spent by the government. So I'm like, okay, that's kind of telling you where we're almost at the tipping point where most economic activity is controlled by the government. So I just was kind of coming around, how do we gauge? Because we're not as free as we used to be, but we're certainly not, you know, communist China. But so then after this election, I said to my friends, I said, this is it. We are not a free country, because this is the basic fundamental of a free country is the consent of the governed. And if we don't have they don't have the consent of the governed, and we don't give, we have not consented to the people that are, we are not a free country. Forget my stupid thoughts 10 years ago or 15 years ago about economic activity and what percentage of spending, how free are we? No, this is it. We are not free. This is not America.
No.
And I don't know where it goes. And the fact that the media just not just allows it to happen, but they're okay with it. They have nothing to say about it. They don't care that we destroyed America. Oh yeah, 100%. They helped it. And I mean, Madison, we had a rally in Madison. There was no TV. I saw nothing on the news about it. I mean, just the blackout on anything that's, they want us to feel like we're alone. They want us to think that we're the only ones that feel like we got cheated. They're doing everything they can to feel that way. And so that's the thing with big tech and Facebook and all these people post something pro Trump and it gets no likes and whatever, because Facebook squelches it in other people's news feeds. And then people think, oh, nobody agrees with me. Nobody else has put me and my friends that I thought they were pro Trump, but they're not liking it. So then you start thinking, oh, that's why the Tea Party was so great for me, is that before that I felt like I was alone. And during George W. Bush's presidency, he didn't fight back. He took all the shit from liberals and didn't fight back. And I just felt like, and I didn't hear, the media was against him. And I just thought, you know, I felt alone. But then when the Tea Party came around, I saw, look at all these thousands of people that feel just like I do. Look at these rallies. There's other people that feel like I do. And then that was just very comforting and validating. And, you know, now I can't say comforted, because I'm as uncomfortable and distraught as I've ever been about the country's future. I'm encouraged that Trump did win that election. I'm encouraged that 74 million people, probably more, came out in droves for him. I'm encouraged that he did way better than he did in 2016. People liked what he did and acknowledged it, but it didn't matter. So
if you take out all the fake votes that are out there, if you could somehow magically ignore the chunk from all the states, of all the fraudulent votes that are out there, it would mean that the majority of people in this country supported Trump and what's going on. They are the minority. They keep saying that we're the majority. They're not the majority. They control the podium and the microphone. Yes. They're not the majority.
I had made a post on Well Armed Radio a couple of weeks back right up there, because I said, here's the thing. I said, take comfort in this, that the left had to be freaking out because they know they lost that election. They know they don't have the hearts and minds of the majority of Americans. They do control the levers of power. They do control the media. But they have to be sitting here freaking the F out, because they know that they lost that in almost a landslide. And then they've got some real angry conservatives, and they're the ones that have always been worried about the law-abiding citizens with guns. They don't worry about the criminals with guns. When they suggest gun control, and we say, look, this isn't going to affect the criminal. We our conservatives there say, why would they propose this? And that people think they're that naive to think that they care about the criminals. The liberals don't care about the criminals. They care about you. If you think that this would affect you more than a criminal, that's exactly why they want that kind of gun control. And so, I mean, you know, so again, I mean, so there's there's 74 million, probably 80 million pissed off people out there that think they got cheated. I mean, look at the, there was 10% of Democrats think Trump got cheated by fraud.
Yep.
I mean, you
yep.
can't have that many millions of people and something not hit the fan. And I don't know what it's going to be, but it's going to be something. Something is going to hit the fan somewhere.
Yeah, I don't know. New York is like a miniature version of the United States. And as soon as the liberals took control of the Assembly, the Senate, and Cuomo in charge, of course, in the last election, immediately they started passing anti-gun stuff. They started
yeah.
writing up bills. They started immediately. They didn't even waste time. And then people howled. And they started to get a pushback and everything, and they calmed down a little bit. But they haven't pushed anything lately. But Cuomo is rabid anti-Trump. Now they're talking about Biden wants to put him as Attorney General?
Are you kidding me? Well, and Joe Biden, I mean,
the
that
Safe
guy...
Act, and they're going to do the same thing. They're going to do the
Joe
same
Biden...
thing. The Safe Act will end up... Oh.
Joe Biden's got the most dangerous job in the world because that guy's... I mean, he ain't going to... I mean.
No.
They're already plotting to get him out. I mean, he's yeah. I mean, what did I forget what I saw the other day that just made me that to me was like, wow. If I was Joe Biden, I wouldn't even want to take a drink of something.
Yeah, I think that I'm worried about the conversation and the discussion ending up in the street. I think that's where it's going to end up, and it's not gonna go well.
Yeah. All right, Mike. Well, it's great to talk to you. I'm glad you caught me in here, and because
yeah.
you won't see me on Facebook since I got banned. But if you do make a lot of our members have been switching over to MeWe because they have all these privacy promises and guarantees and no algorithm manipulation. So if you ever make it over there, look me up or look up Wisconsin Carry. I don't use my
okay.
name on there. I use a different moniker. But if you find the
all
Wisconsin
right.
Carry group, yeah, hook up and. All right, Mike. Great to talk to you. Let's talk soon.
All right, I'll stay on hold. To listen
okay,
to the show.
All right, sounds
all
good.
Right,
I think I got him on hold there. All right, so that's my friend Mike from New York. Mike's a longtime listener to the show. So, all right, let's jump into it here. So, first thing I was going to talk about here is I get this, see this on the news. It was on Channel 12, but I believe, and I'm opening up the link here, it was a CNN, you know, these local networks, they pick up. Stories from the wire service from CNN from whatever. So, oops, and they, that's kind of weird. So the actual topic didn't pop up. Oh, here it is. So the headline here was immunity passports allow travelers into countries if they've had COVID-19, but there are warnings. So now this is the new discussion was these immunity passports. With miles of barbed wire, I'm going to read a bit of this from Channel 12, but then it was a CNN article. Scott McLean, Florence Davey Atlee of CNN wrote this. So I guess this came off of the CNN wire service or something. With miles of barbed wire fence and electric fencing along its border and open government hostility to immigrants, Hungary's borders aren't always the friendliest place for foreigners. That's normal during normal times. Amid the pandemic, Hungary has shut its doors to almost everyone, even its European neighbors. Unless they've had COVID-19. It's not the place you'd expect to find such a novel exception to otherwise tough entry rules. The pals, I'm going to skip forward. Essentially, they're creating these immunity passports. And what it is people who have had tests, they test positive for the antibodies. They're giving them these, they're calling them immunity passports. And I think that, so first off, I mean, how Orwellian? I mean, it just, this is the kind of stuff we used to read about in 1984, and we thought that could never happen, and we scoffed at it. But here we are, 2020, and we're talking about immunity passports. But the other thing is, you know, we've been told for the past 9 months by these fear-mongering, politically motivated bureaucrats who are, I've now termed them dinos, doctors in name only. We've been told that just because you've had corona doesn't mean you can't get it again and doesn't mean you don't have to wear a mask and doesn't mean you're immune and they don't know how long immunity is going to last. But now all of a sudden here we've got these countries that are saying that if you've had corona, you get an immunity passport. And we were told, we're told we don't know how long immunity lasts, but yet an immunity passport is going to be issued. So again, I say to myself, why are we believing any of these people? I mean, everything, and that's what I said to my fiance the other day. I keep talking about what I tell my fiance because that's where I talk to the most. But I said, if people believe, look what they just changed recently. They've changed all of the quarantine time frames. Used to be a 14-day quarantine, and then here, like our local school district and the local health department, it's down to a 7-day quarantine if you have no symptoms, and a 10-day quarantine if you had symptoms. And so that's way different than it was before. And so, I mean, before they were saying just, you know, the incubation period could be, so they were wrong in the spring, and to think that now they're right would be foolish. And there's so many examples of this. In the spring, they said, don't wear a mask. Now they're saying to wear a mask. I mean, and I'm convinced the masks don't work. I think the masks might make it worse. I see the practical matter of how people wear masks because they can't hear each other talking. They get closer together with the mask on, constantly touching it. Nobody wears it right under their nose, used to be most people would breathe through their nose. Occasionally someone, if they've got a cold, they're breathing through their mouth, but I think your nose, generally your breath goes down. But then when you've got the mask on, I think that it pushes your breath out sideways, up another, I think it probably more aerosolizes your breath. So, I mean, again, if the masks work, we wouldn't be seeing the stuff we're seeing out there. You look at even places where they've got religious mask wearing, like San Francisco, and they're having spikes. The masks don't work. And I'm convinced they make it worse. But, you know, all these issues we're seeing with coronavirus, I mean, all the risk and opportunities and sacrifices and priorities and considerations and pros and cons of each action, you know, to wear a mask, to not wear a mask, to go out, to not go out, to isolate yourself, to go. This is why we need freedom. There is no one solution fits all. There's no right option for everybody. Freedom is the only fair solution. The opportunity for you individually to weigh the consequences and make your own personal decision. You know, these government imposed priorities are so effed up, and everyone knows it. And freedom is the only solution here. Freedom means you choose to go out knowing you might get sick, you might die, you might get hit by a car. That's freedom. And the consequences, you know, one person who decides that, no, they don't want to take any risk at all. Like, I'm convinced I had coronavirus. I'm not going to get tested. I don't want my shit recorded. I'm convinced I had coronavirus in March. The symptoms match what other people had. It was the easiest flu I've ever had because I had no congestion. I just had inflammation in my lungs. I could hear it when I would breathe. But I had no congestion, no productive cough. I've never worn a mask. I've not put a mask on my face for 1 second. I've not avoided people. I used to be a germaphobe years ago because I got the flu really bad in 2005 and it freaked me out because I was just messed up for months. But after I see this corona stuff, I'm like, you know, we can't all be germaphobes. So I literally gave up my germophobia when coronavirus started. I don't even use hand sanitizer as much as I used to because, I believe in that. My fiance, she works at the ER, and this chick never, ever, ever gets sick. And I mean never. We've been together for 11 years, and I don't think maybe once she had a slight, I don't even think it was cold. She had a slight like hoarse throat. And who knows if that was even from a cold or from just, you know, yelling or something. So she works at the ER. She gets people coughing on her all the time. There's something to be said for the human immune system is a fantastic piece of machinery. And I believe in this notion that we've got to keep it strong, stay rested, you know, vitamins, nutrition, all this stuff, exercise, keep your immune system strong. It's the best way. My dad is 60, I think he's 65, maybe 64, 65, 64. Just got an email from him today. He said he was diagnosed with coronavirus 3 or 4 days. My dad has recently has been in the hospital with heart issues. He had a bunch of fluid buildup and his legs bloated. He had to go on dialysis to get the fluid out of his body. He's not he's not in kidney failure, but he's his kidneys are still working. But so he had to go one-time dialysis. He doesn't have to regularly go to dialysis. His kidneys are still functioning. But so he's got all kinds of health issues. He got coronavirus probably. We got tested 3 or 4 days ago, and he was positive. So if he got tested, that must have meant he had reason to believe before that. So he's probably had symptoms for, you know, I don't know, five, six days. And he said his symptoms are mild. My dad's, he's diabetic. He's overweight. Although he's losing weight. He's probably down. I think he's down to 250, I think he said. But he's diabetic, congestive heart failure, all the risk factors for COVID. But he's doing fine with it. So, I mean, it's just, but when the news makes everything out to be so terrible, people believe it's worse than it is. And the fact of the matter is, people that are dying of COVID are probably people that would have died of the flu. These numbers are for sure inflated. Even the Milwaukee Medical Examiner says the numbers are inflated. I'm not even convinced that this is anything more than what we would have seen for an inordinately bad flu season. But again, it's still people's that this is why freedom was the solution here, because again, so many different risks and opportunities to close your business, to not close your business. Some people can afford to close their business. Some people can't. That's why we need freedom. Some people don't care if they get the coronavirus. They want to go out and risk it. They want to go out in public and risk it. And some people don't. And again, I don't want anybody, if you want to hide at home and court, you know, fine. That's your choice. That's freedom. Freedom lets you do that. And here's the other thing, you know, the Democrats convinced everybody that they had a pre-existing condition for the purposes of trying to get people to agree for the socialized healthcare. The Democrats have convinced everybody that they're high risk. The Democrats and liberals in the media have convinced everybody that they're high risk for coronavirus. You know, I hear someone say, oh, well, I have asthma, I'm high risk. Asthma, like the death statistics is not people with asthma. The people dying of coronavirus, again, 65 and older with morbidly obese, type 2 diabetes, hypertension. That's the big, and even those, that's not. There's a lot of people with diabetes, heart disease, hypertension, morbidly obese, over 65 that didn't die of the coronavirus. And so, I mean, again, freedom's the only, but the media has convinced everybody. You talk to everybody. I shouldn't talk about one of my employees. I was listening to someone the other day at the gym, and they were talking about their relative who's, who had cancer, I forget how long ago. And so, that's what it was. They're immunocompromised because I've got another friend who is taking some medication that suppresses your immune system. And there's a lot of medications that suppress your immune system. Like, you know, corticosteroids, those prednisone, those kind of things, they suppress your immune system somewhat. But those people aren't dying from COVID. But that's the thing. The fear factor here has everybody convinced that they have everybody's convinced that they're high risk. I shouldn't say everybody, all kinds of people that are definitely not high risk for complications of coronavirus think they're at high risk for coronavirus because the media has convinced them as much. But I mean, here's another story. This was on Fox News this past week. Open this one up here. So it was Fox 6, and there's COVID-19 testing down in Wisconsin. Residents await vaccine. They were talking. Here's the quote: "The Wisconsin Immunization Registry is an online database that tracks which vaccine residents have received and when they'd be due for the second COVID-19 vaccine dose. COVID-19." The vaccinations, at least one of them, Pfizer and Moderna are the two companies that have their vaccines ready to go. But I know at least one of those, it's two doses. I'm not sure if, and I don't remember which one it is. I can't remember if Pfizer's is two doses and Moderna's is two doses, or if Pfizer's is two doses, but Moderna's just one. But I think they might both be two doses. So here's this Wisconsin Immunization Registry. Again, how Orwellian are we now? We've got an immunization registry. I mean, some perspective first. And I got to issue a correction. Last week I had said that there was, I think I said there was like 4,600 people hospitalized with coronavirus. And I read this week, that must have just been total number of people in the state hospitalized. Because this week I was reading, there's only like 1,500 people hospitalized with coronavirus. And again, hospitalization doesn't mean that coronavirus is massively different than the seasonal flu. I've explained this last week. Hospitals are for profit. They don't maintain all kinds of excess capacity. Hospitals have moved to, and again, even if they're a nonprofit, they're revenue driven. They have metrics of how much hospital space they need because hospitals don't sit there with for 90% of the time having all these rooms empty. So they have hospitals operate near their capacity. Same thing with airlines. Airlines years ago, I mean, I used to fly Midwest Express and there was like half empty plane, only a third of the plane was full, and I'd be flying to Houston. And then as time moved along, that never happened. They went to full utilization of planes. They made sure the planes were fully, you were almost never on a plane that wasn't almost completely full. It's the same thing with hospitals. Hospitals aren't going to sit there for 11 months out of the year or 12 months out of the year or 9.5 years out of 10, having all kinds of empty hospital rooms. They just don't do it. So when people are freaking out because hospitals are filling up, you have to remember that it wouldn't take much of a bump in hospitalizations for hospitals to be, quote, filling up, because these hospitals have had metrics over that they've developed over decades of data that they only need to keep exactly what they need for capacity. You know, hospitals measure their profitability by occupancy rate. And hospitals, they don't measure their profitability by occupancy rate, but they have the same thing. Hospitals look at their bed utilization, and if they've got a bunch of excess beds, if a hospital maintained 50 hospital beds for pandemic that they never use, they downsize. They don't do that. Hospitals don't leave this massive capacity. Hospitals aren't typically running at 10% capacity or 25% capacity. Hospitals are typically running probably at 75, 80, 90% capacity or higher because that's the profit-driven nature of it. They've got their day surgeries. They've got their all this stuff because they don't have all these empty hospital rooms just sitting there. So it only takes a little bit of an effect because coronavirus is clearly a real thing, but it only takes a little bit of an effect for something like this to have hospitals fill up. You don't have hundreds of thousands of people in Wisconsin sick from coronavirus. Again, like December, it's easy to reach capacity for a hospital when you have a business model that emphasizes minimum vacancies. December 1st, there was 1,848 people hospitalized with coronavirus, 411 people in the ICU. The peak, 2,155 on November 20th. 436 in the ICU. So we're down from those, but those are all COVID patients. Now remember, COVID's an upper respiratory flu and people die of the seasonal flu every year. Certainly some of the people in the hospital with the corona, they would have been in the hospital with the flu and they would have died from the flu. That's a certainty. How much is the difference between the two? We don't know. How many people wouldn't have struggled with the flu, but they do struggle with coronavirus? We don't know. But again, it's just that this is still a media sensationalized phenomenon here with coronavirus. It's just there's no doubt. And then you see Fauci now saying, "Oh, they were all concerned there was going to be a spike." Here's another thing: when I talk about things that they say, there's going to be a spike from Thanksgiving. There's going to be a spike from Thanksgiving. There's going to be a spike from Thanksgiving. Schools didn't come back. Some schools didn't come back after Thanksgiving in order to see if there was a spike. Some schools just decided to stay out till virtual till January 2nd. Here in New Berlin, they added 2 extra days after Thanksgiving break of virtual learning so that they could give a chance for anybody to develop symptoms and then not come to school. there's been no spike from Thanksgiving. We were being told for a month before Thanksgiving there was going to be a spike from Thanksgiving by the experts, quote, quote, experts. There was no spike from Thanksgiving. Experts were wrong again, things that we're getting used to during this, quote, pandemic. So this whole thing, I mean, it's Fauci, well, Christmas, we're actually more concerned about Christmas because Thanksgiving was only a couple days, but Christmas, you've got the whole week from Christmas Day to New Year's Day, and that's a whole week of time people are going to, so now all of a sudden Fauci's saying, yeah, we're actually more worried about a spike from Christmas. Shut the f- up. I mean, give me a break. This Fauci guy, I mean, now he's got a place in Joe Biden. That just tells you what, this guy was a lefty from the start, and everybody suspected it as of last spring. But this cat, I mean, he's just out there fear-mongering. He's in with, I think, Moderna is his company. He's not, I don't know if he's on the board of Moderna or he's a shareholder or something, but I know he's got ties to Moderna. That's Fauci's. And they're probably everything they can do to scare everybody in the world to go get the coronavirus, because they're going to make billions off of it, billions and billions off of it. They've already gotten billions in government incentives for Operation Warp Speed. Now they're going to do everything they can to keep the fear high till everybody gets the vaccine, because that's how they're going to make their billions, they think. Moving on. The next topic I had here was called I titled it The Consequences of Inaction. I have two different topics on different things, but they're related here. And, you know, based on what we've seen in this past election, presidential election, I believe it's possible and actually almost certain that Scott Walker lost by fraud also. Scott Walker lost by about the same margin, about 20,000 votes in 2018. The same scenario that happened to Trump, late night, late, early in the morning, boom, big vote dump for Tony Evers back in 2018. Same thing happened to Trump, same time of night. I remember opining that Walker could have won by a landslide. This is before the race. I believe Scott Walker lost a race he could have won. I think he threw candy at everything and anything. He was Democrat light, tossing candy. He refused to take up the crime issue, which people were begging him to make crime an issue in the campaign. But he just thought he was going to cruise control through to a third term. This is during the campaign, during his campaign for governor, his reelection campaign, promised seniors a homestead tax credit, had that child tax credit gimmick to redistribute the surplus to a bunch of people just because of the number of kids they had, threw money at counties and road builders where potholes became an issue in the campaign. He had a tax credit for recent college graduates during the campaign, tried to be Democrat light on pre-existing conditions during his campaign, refused to make crime an issue, which would have been a winning issue. Scott Walker dissed gun rights. We had Senate Bill 139 that he dissed right before the campaign. Scott Walker hadn't been bold since Act 10. Others in the legislature had to push and advocate for right to work and prevailing wage. Many were punished for it. Andre Jacques. Scott Walker killed the casino after reopening the issue a few years before. Scott Walker used his victory speech in 2014 to launch a presidential campaign. That pissed a lot of people off. Scott Walker dissed Donald Trump in a national debate upon leaving the race, said he was going to leave the race so that the support could coalesce around a true conservative, because Trump had the 30% support and then the 70% was all divided between all these other people. Scott Walker campaigned against Trump in 2016 when Kasich and Ted Cruz were still. And look, I was a Ted Cruz guy. But Scott Walker, he pissed off a lot of people. He still only lost by 20,000 votes in a late night vote surge in Milwaukee tabulating. And I think Scott Walker didn't overcome the margin of fraud. Now, Scott Walker, again, I believe Scott Walker could have won by a landslide, but for running a terrible campaign. But it was close because Scott Walker ran a terrible campaign. Now, I predicted Scott Walker was still going to win. I thought that in spite of the terrible second term he had and a terrible campaign he ran on a terrible strategy, with polling that showed a dead heat, the power of incumbency and the propensity of Wisconsinites to be like Wisconsinites like the known and they avoid change. That's kind of a Wisconsin thing. It's a human nature thing, but especially a Wisconsin thing. I thought Scott Walker was going to squeak by. I thought he was going to win his reelection. And I said before the election that if I had to predict, I was going to predict Scott Walker would eke it out. I predicted the power of incumbency, he was going to eke it out. And I also said that it didn't have to be close if he wouldn't have, again, run a terrible campaign, had such a terrible second term. So Scott Walker didn't eke it out, but I think I was right. I actually think I was right that he would have eked it out. But here's the consequences of inaction. This is where I'm going with this. The consequences of inaction are that Scott Walker, many people thought that there was funny stuff going on in Milwaukee during that vote count. If Scott Walker had fought, even if he didn't serve his second term, if he had pressed for an audit of Milwaukee, if the legislature would have pressed for an audit, if in 2018, when that late night vote dump came in and all of a sudden Milwaukee flipped the whole state for Evers after Scott Walker was up, Scott Walker had pressed for an audit, if the legislature would have pressed for an audit, if they would have fixed the corrupt voting system in Milwaukee and Madison. And there was many things the Republicans could have done, including on the Wisconsin Election Commission, where they've got some super softy squishies that just go along with the liberals. If Scott Walker would have done that, if he would have fought, Trump's theft wouldn't have happened here in Wisconsin, at least. It's not to say it wouldn't have happened in Pennsylvania, not to say it wouldn't have happened still in Georgia, not to say it wouldn't have still happened in the other states that he, but it wouldn't have happened here in Wisconsin. Might have still happened in Michigan. But if Scott Walker had fought, but he didn't. Scott Walker rolled over, didn't question. There was, and if you guys remember, this was 2 years ago, there was a huge, huge scuttlebutt of fraud in Milwaukee because of that late night vote dump. And remember in 2018, there was no coronavirus. There was no mail-in votes. There was no absentee votes. But we've just let the media push this narrative that, oh, Milwaukee just has so many votes, it takes them so long to count. Why? Why does it take Milwaukee so long to count? They've got all – this was 2018. There was no pandemic. There was no nothing. They've got all the machines. Milwaukee chooses to be slow at the count so they can see where the numbers are coming back at and find ballots somewhere. I'm convinced of it. I would bet my life on it. But again, Scott Walker, the consequences of inaction, Walker did nothing. Even if it wouldn't have been serving a second term, if we'd have had some exposure on the vote fraud in Milwaukee, they wouldn't have been able to steal it, and we'd have fixed the corrupt system in Milwaukee. Trump would have won Wisconsin. And again, doesn't fix Pennsylvania, Michigan, Georgia. But this is the consequences of inaction. Here's some more consequences of inaction and a different angle. On September 23rd, I received a phone call from Wisconsin Assembly Rep Joe Sanfilippo. He's actually my assembly rep here in New Berlin. It was probably motivated by some questions of slash content that I had posted to the New Berlin Taxpayers Alliance group on Fascist Book that I was an admin of at the time. I founded the New Berlin Taxpayers Alliance. One of the things that Joe said to me on that phone call that I was very pleased to hear was that he intended to break ranks with the Wisconsin GOP establishment, who were stonewalling the recall effort because there was a recall effort of Tony Evers that had been going on starting in the late summer, I think early fall maybe. The Wisconsin GOP establishment had been stonewalling the recall effort. But Joe Sanfilippo said to me on the phone that he was going to issue a press release saying that he supported the recall. This was September 23rd. Now, I never saw that press release, and if anybody else did, let me know. In fact, I actually texted Joe, because Joe, this is what they popped up. Nick, if you ever got questions, you just call me or text me. So I texted Joe. He never responded. But I said, Joe, you said on the phone you were going to issue two press releases. One was something about the coronavirus and the mask mandate. The other one was you were going to support the recall. I saw the first one, never saw the second. Did you ever issue that second press release supporting the recall? Because as everybody knows, the recall failed, came up short of the number of signatures they needed on the recall petition. So here we are. Presidential election stolen. elected Republicans in Wisconsin sitting on their thumbs. Wouldn't it have been fucking nice if the Wisconsin GOP had backed the recall of Governor Skeletor? And right now, at this very moment, Governor Skeletor, Tony Evers, had a recall hanging over his head. Wouldn't it be nice if with every unconstitutional executive order that Tony Evers issues since, you know, the last 2 months, re-extending the mask mandate, all these other things, wouldn't it be nice if Tony Evers had a recall hanging over his head? The election would have been 90 days from the time that the recall petition, if they had enough signatures. Wouldn't it be nice if every unconstitutional executive order Evers had issued in the last few months, he had to do so facing a recall election in less than 90 days? Wouldn't it be nice if, with signing off to certify a fraudulent election, Tony Evers had to face the voters in less than 90 days? Wouldn't it be nice if, with every big city lockdown initiated by the liberals in Dane County or the liberals in Milwaukee County or the liberals in Racine County, every time they shut down restaurants and limit the capacity of restaurants and stand on the necks of small business owners, wouldn't it be nice if there was a way for people in those areas to send a loud and clear message with a vote for a different direction going forward in a recall election? Wouldn't it be nice if every restaurant owner in Milwaukee, Madison, and elsewhere whose business barely survived the absolutely unnecessary spring lockdowns and now faced a dagger of a fall lockdown because Governor Skeletor and his ilk can issue dictates with a feeling of absolute immunity from repercussions? Wouldn't it be nice if he had an election coming less than 90 days to let all those restaurant owners and the waiters and waitresses let their voice be heard? But no, Becky Cleafish, the candidate the WIS GOP has hand-selected and groomed for decades, she wasn't ready for a campaign. So the entire Wisconsin GOP stonewalled the recall effort. They all did. So I pose the question, when are conservatives going to demand more? You know, your kids are not going to grow up in the same free country that we did because no one fought back. And this is the consequences of inaction. And all I got to say is, damn, wouldn't it be nice if someone stood up and fought once? Last thing I got for you guys here tonight was kompromat. That's the Russian word for compromising information. K-O-M-P-R-O-M-A-T. I was watching a story this week about it was actually on Newsmax. I love watching Newsmax now. It's just so nice to turn on a station and hear real discussion of what's really going on. It's things you never hear on the mainstream network news about whether it's Trump's lawsuits or any number of things. It's just so refreshing to watch Newsmax. I don't have cable, but I just watch on my smart TV, go to the internet and go to the browser, newsmaxtv.com, and watch Newsmax in high def over the internet on my TV. My fiance, she has cable. She clicks. I showed her where Newsmax was in One America News, and she clicks back and forth. And it's just nice to be able to see some actual news that has a conservative fairness to it. But late night, Newsmax had a special. It was some sort of documentary slash biography on Donald Trump. They were talking about when he was over in Russia for the Miss America pageant or Miss USA or Miss Universe or whatever it is. I forget which one Trump owns, but whichever one Trump owns, he was over there for that in Moscow. They had it in Moscow 1 year. And one of the narrators of the documentary was talking about kompromat. Kompromat is the Russian word for compromising information. And that's what the Russians do. They get kompromat on people. They get dirt on people. And then they use it to manipulate those people to do what they want. Then you had the story this week about Representative Stalwell and his connections to a Chinese spy. And I started thinking, you know, I'm sure this happens so much more than we ever know. And even the jaded among us who think that it happens all the time, it's probably more than that. Whenever I see a Republican doing something that's just ridiculously out of character, like Brian Hagedorn, who said he was a conservative and then he's now voting with the liberals, whenever I see a Republican just ridiculously out of character with things, I think it can't just be media subservience. I mean, some of it is. But again, there's others like Hagedorn. I have to think they have to be compromised. Some of these politicians that turn around, like, Paul Ryan. Paul Ryan used to sometimes do stuff that was so against the conservative push, the conservative expectation, the conservative desire. And I thought, why the hell is Paul Ryan doing that? He was Speaker of the House, Republican from Janesville, who first congressional district here in Wisconsin. I'm convinced that there are so many conservative politicians out there who must be compromised. The libs must have compromise on them to get. Look, libs have the deep state. Liberals have every government agency. Liberals have no morals. So liberals, they'll cheat, they'll lie, they will steal. Most Republicans, they wouldn't do this stuff even if they wanted to. Republicans wouldn't cheat, lie, and steal, but even if they wanted to, they don't have the support of every lib loyalist government employee. Because see, the government agencies are full of liberals. If you're a liberal, you get into government work. And so when a liberal is in power, they have perfect cooperation from their agencies because they're all liberals. When a Republican is in power, they don't get cooperation from agencies because even though the Republican is president and even though the Republican is going to appoint his cabinet heads, you still have all the people doing the daily work in these agencies, they're still liberals. And so they resist. It's, you know, you in government, it's even difficult in the private sector to get compliance. When a new manager comes in or a new executive of a company and he says, hey, here's how we're gonna do it. He puts getting people to buy into their mission is important because it doesn't matter how smart you are. Doesn't matter because the CEO doesn't go out there and sell stuff. The CEO doesn't go out there and he's not the salesman that's out there talking to customers all across the market. The CEO is not the one that the CEO of McDonald's isn't the one that stands behind the cashier and smiles at people and says, welcome to McDonald's. And would you like some fries with that? And so whenever someone in it takes over the executive position of a company, they put together a mission, then they got to get people to buy into it. They got to get the managers to buy into it. And then if the managers buy into it, then the managers get their employees, the frontline workers to buy in. And that's how you make change. Because if the CEO decides, because he's the smartest guy in the world, says, man, you know why we're failing here at McDonald's? Because our customer service has gone down. Because we're slow at the drive-thru, we're slow at the counter. So we got to speed that up. The CEO can't just snap his fingers and make people speed up. He's got to get the managers to agree that that's the problem. And yeah, we got to speed up. And then the managers that got to talk to frontline people and then motivate them and ingratiate them to the mission of speeding up service. And that's how you make it work. It's not enough just to know what's wrong. And you have to have buy-in from, because it's such a big organization. The government is such a big organization, whether it's the president or whoever, you have to have buy-in from those below you. When the EPA has been reined in under Trump, but believe you me, the EPA employees weren't happy about it. They've resisted, I'm sure, at every opportunity, and there's more that could have been. When a lib takes over, I mean, the regulations that the EPA throws out there are fast and furious, are just amazing. I mean, it just, you know, how quickly Obama's administration outlawed a standard gas can. So again, my point here is that liberals have the deep state. They've got every government agency, and liberals have no morals. They will cheat. They will lie. They will steal. Most Republicans wouldn't do that because they have more of a sense of principle. But even if they wanted to do it, even if they wanted to cheat, lie, and steal, they don't have the support of the lib loyalist government employees that populate these agencies. I commented on this a couple of years ago. I couldn't believe no one would criticize Robert Mueller in D.C. during the special counsel. No one, not even Republicans. No one would criticize Robert Mueller. Republicans on down, they spoke glowingly about Robert Mueller, in spite of the fact that people like Hannity or Rush Limbaugh or others revealed how absolutely biased and what a hack Robert Mueller really was. Robert Mueller was a partisan hack. But all the Republicans in D.C. kept saying, oh, Robert Mueller's a good guy. He's the highest of character. And I sat there scratching my head at the time, and I said, why the hell are all these Republicans singing the praises of Robert Mueller, who's on a witch hunt? And I remember thinking to myself, Robert Mueller was the head of the FBI. He must have shit on all these guys. The FBI must have shit on all these Republican politicians, because you can have shit on Democrat politicians, but it doesn't matter because you have the same goals. Liberals all have the same goals. Why would you want to out your Libby Democrat? No, I don't want to call him pal, but you just wouldn't, because you have the same goals. So again, I'm not a conspiracy theory kind of guy, but I mean, I see some of this stuff and I think, man, the left must just have dirt on all these Republicans. I can't help but think Hagedorn now, someone must have some dirt on Hagedorn to get him to flip like he has. You just have to. I mean, and he's just one guy. The pattern of conservatives flipping and siding with liberals, it goes back forever. It's a very, very long list. But again, Robert Mueller was probably the one most recently where I thought everybody knew Robert Mueller was an absolute partisan hack. But yet, whether it was Paul Ryan or whoever, everybody in D.C., Republican or Democrat, kept saying, oh, Robert Mueller is the highest, of, you know, they're on the Sunday morning talk shows. And if there's truth out there, Robert Mueller is going to find it. He's of the highest character. And and I just was like, why are Republicans sitting there blowing sunshine up Robert Mueller's ass? Because, and again, the only thing I kept coming back to is he must have compromise on them. He must have the dirt on them. Speak ill of Robert Mueller and your wife's going to find out you cheat on her. Speak ill of Robert Mueller and, oh, some reporter is going to get a story anonymously emailed to them about how you, whatever, did a shady business deal, laundered money, cheated on your tax, something. I can't help but thinking that's got to be the case. And we all think that probably happens. And it's got to be even more than we think, because the propensity is for people to want to, you know, to be accepted and popular. So there's all kinds of peer pressure for Republicans to cave. Republicans are always trying to cave for the media. They're always trying to cave to get media favor. They're always trying to, you know, it's like the Republican dream to be a media darling, which is never going to happen. But even that influence aside, sometimes you see Republicans do things where you're just like, what the hell? And that's when I'm sitting here thinking, they gotta have shit on them to get these Republicans to cave like they. Because there's obviously the peer pressure reason for Republicans would cave, but along with, but that's just not enough for the level of cave that we're seeing here. Well, last thing I was just going to mention here, you know, is I wonder if you can recall Hagedorn. This guy's pissed off so many people. People are fuming mad at him. And I wonder if at least the Wisconsin GOP would support that. So I'd love to see a Hagedorn. Can we recall a state, a Supreme Court justice? Because I'm not liking the prospects for our future at all if Hagedorn is still sitting there on the. I'm not optimistic for our prospects of winning the next one, because I don't think we can win a statewide race with the vote fraud coming out of Milwaukee. And with Hagedorn in there right now, we don't have a conservative majority now. So anyway, that's the show. Thank you guys for tuning in. Thanks for calling in, Mike, my bud. Stay safe out there in New York and with all your move and your travels. Carry on. Be well armed.
This is Sniper Chick Julie. You've been listening to Well Armed Radio, and I have to know, is that a gun in your pants, or did you just really enjoy the show?
Stop listening to the bombastic loudmouths on the radio and television and the internet. To hell with them.